morning. It's good to be here. It feels a little bit like home. Yes, we're working. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. That's in book 2, the New Testament. I want to speak to you on the subject of a balanced walk with God. I heard of the man who said, "I'm really balanced." The guy says, "How come?" He says, "I have a chip on both shoulders." But that's not what we're talking about this evening. We're going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Matthew 6, verses 1 through 8. It says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Matthew chapter 6 is a great chapter to teach us about having balance in our lives, but particularly this evening I want us to think about having a balanced walk with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to gather tonight. Thank you that all around this world there are groups of people like this that have trusted you as Saviour and are gathering together to worship you in spirit and in truth. We just ask and pray now this evening that you would just open our hearts to what you have to say to us. I ask, Lord, that you would use me as your vessel and speak through me. Lord, may each one of us examine our own hearts and our own walk with you. And may we learn from you this evening, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, he also wrote this. He said, "I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But I thank God I am not what I once was. And I can say with the great apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am." As we look at Matthew chapter 6, firstly, just by way of introduction, we need to go back and look at how it began right in the beginning of time in the book of Genesis and just see what a walk with God was like in the original creation. As you read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, it tells us that Adam and Eve, it says, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It says the presence of the Lord was amongst the trees of the garden. Back in the original creation, as Adam and Eve in their perfect creation were there in the Garden of Eden, they had a balanced personal walk with God. God would come in the evening and he would walk and talk with them. The voice of God in the garden prior to Genesis chapter 3 when sin came was their joy and their delight. Their quiet time that they spent with God there in that garden was something they looked forward to as God walked and talked with them. But in Genesis chapter 3, sin came. And what had been balanced became unbalanced. We see in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 3 that the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" You know, the thing that stands out to me there was it wasn't Adam and Eve looking for God. It wasn't them that sought God, but it was God that sought Adam and Eve. One of the greatest truths of the Christmas story is the fact that Jesus came to us. And when it comes to desire to have a walk with God, that desire comes first and foremost from our wonderful God who came to us there in Bethlehem, who in this situation with Adam came looking for Adam and Eve and said, "Where are you?" Romans 3 verse 11 says, "There is none that seeketh after God." We think about Abraham as he lived there in the Ur of Chaldees. It was God who sought out and called Abraham to leave his country and to leave his family and to go to a land that he would show him. It was God that sought out Jacob there at Bethel when he was fleeing from the lies and the consequences of his lies and his family. It was God who went and sought out Moses on the backside of the desert there in the land of Midian. It was what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And when it comes to having a walk with God, one of the most wonderful truths is the fact that God is the one that seeks us out. It's God that has the desire to have a relationship with us. It was God who said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's not the sheep that seek the shepherd, but it's the shepherd that went to seek the sheep. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, "We love him because he first loved us." 1 John 4 verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The wonderful truth when we look at the original creation, when sin came, God began by seeking out Adam and Eve. And God did that in your life, and he did that in my life. And the wonderful truth when we consider having a balanced walk with God is this very simple truth, is that God desires to have a relationship with us. And every time I think about that, it just amazes me that in a world of over 8 billion people, that God, the Almighty God, desires to have a relationship with me. And think about it, that he wants to have a relationship with you. And he went and left heaven and came to us because he desired to have a relationship with us. He sought out Adam and Eve. And the wonderful truth now is that in the new creation, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, "Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And in just the same way in the original creation as God walked and talked with Adam and Eve, God desires to walk and talk with you and I today. That as we put our trust in him as Savior and he washes our sins away and he makes us a new creation, he desires to walk and talk with us just as he did with Adam and Eve in the original creation. And that thought just staggers me. He came to us. Before I even considered loving him, he loved me. He proved that he loved me by giving himself and shedding his blood for me. So what does it mean to have a balanced walk with God? Well, firstly, it's very important for us to understand actually who we are and what our identity is. Just like John Newton wrote and said, "I am not who I used to be, and I am not who I will be." The question then comes, well, right now, who am I? Well, a few thoughts from the scripture. Who am I right now? To have a balanced walk with God, I need to recognize what is my identity right now as a believer living here upon earth. Well, Colossians 3:10 tells us that I am complete in him. Don't ever think that you're inadequate or unworthy of having a relationship with the Almighty Creator. In Jesus Christ, we have been made complete in him. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6 tells me, I am accepted in the Beloved. You need to understand your identity as you are accepted in the Beloved. There is nothing that you can do and there is nothing that you need to do to be any more accepted than you were the day you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. There's nothing we need to do to be accepted of him. I am right now accepted in the Beloved. Colossians 3:3, who am I? I am dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God. Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who am I right now? What is my identity? I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. Romans 8 verse 16 says, we are the children of God. And who is he? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For us to have a balanced walk with God, we need to understand, who am I in Jesus Christ? And sometimes we struggle to have that ongoing walking and talking with the Lord Jesus Christ because we don't really understand who he made us as a new creation. We are accepted. We're complete. We're his children. What we need to do is we need to understand who we are and balance that against what our heart and thoughts so often tell us. You understand this, and I hope you understand this. You can't trust your thoughts. For the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. We can't trust our thoughts. What we can trust is the truths of the Word of God. And we need to come back to what the Word of God has to say. Now, you're probably not like me, but sometimes Satan tells me some things that are untrue. And my heart and thoughts can go with that, but I need to come away from that and come back to, what has God said? Who am I in Jesus Christ? And we come back to the truths of the Word of God. Sometimes other people might say things about you and what they might think about how you live and how you behave, but our relationship is not with them. Our relationship is with our God, who says, you're complete in me. You are totally accepted. You're a child of the King. See, to have a balanced walk with God, you need to first understand what your identity is in Christ. Who am I? I am his child. Number two, what we need to recognize. Number one is we need to recognize our identity in Christ. But number two, we need to recognize that he is changing me. I'm going to give you a bunch of verses. You can jot them down, or you might know them already and got them memorized, but great verses to remember. Let's realize it's not me that's going to change me. It's God that's doing the work of changing me. And you know when he started that work? He started it the day I trusted him as Savior. And my life verse is Philippians 1 verse 6, which says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The day you trusted Christ as Savior, God began a work in you to change you to become more and more like him. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You go back to Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul shared the struggle he had with, here's the good things I want to do and I don't do them. And here's the bad things that I don't want to do and I end up doing them. And he talks about, I've got the will and I've got the desire to do them, but then he says those powerful words, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. We'll just put that aside because it's not for you to do, it's for God to do. And that's why Philippians 2 verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. All we need to do is say, God, here I am. You do the work in me. You change me to make me more and more like you. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship. His workmanship. Romans 8 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Why? To be conformed to the image of his Son. So we need to recognize that he's the one that's changing us. That the day we got saved, he began a work in us to change us from the inside out to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm so glad that that day when I trusted Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit came and dwelt within. And he's doing a work on the inside of me to change me, and he's not finished yet. In fact, he's not going to be finished till either I go to glory or he comes back to get me. But he's doing a work to change me into that same image, the image of Jesus Christ. And we need to recognize, in order to have a balanced walk with God, it's not me changing me, it's God changing me. And I simply need to allow him to do the work. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16, it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, And I'm feeling that more and more. That's not in the verse, by the way. That was just a side commentary. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And who's doing that? God's doing that. And as I walk with him and as I talk with him, his Holy Spirit works on the inside and is changing me to become more and more like Jesus. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. See, to have a balanced walk with God, you need to understand, number one, who you are in Jesus Christ. But number two, you need to understand who's changing you. It's not you. And if you're going through your Christian life and you're thinking that somehow you need to change yourself, and when we try and change ourselves, you know what part we deal with? We deal with the outside, just like the Pharisees. We clean up the outside, but no, it's God that's changing us. He's cleaning up the inside. And he's making us more and more like Jesus. And it needs to be Jesus that's shining from the inside that comes through on the outside. In Jeremiah chapter 18, Jeremiah is instructed by God to go down to the potter's house. And there the potter is, and he's got the clay, and that's you and me. We're the clay, and God's the potter, and he's trying to make something beautiful out of us. And there's some key words there that are really important. It says, as seemed good to the potter to make it. See, one thing you need to understand about God changing you, it's not up to you to tell God how to do it. As the potter worked with the clay, he made from the clay what seemed good to him. He doesn't come along and say, Paul, well, how would you like me to shape and change you? And what sort of person do you want me to make you into? No, it got nothing to do with it. Because from day one, when I got saved, he began to make of me what he wanted to make of me. And part of the problem why we struggle so often is we're trying to tell God how to do the work. And what we need to do is simply submit to God and say, God, you do the work. You're the one that needs to change me. To have a balanced walk with God, we need to recognize he's the one doing the changing. We need to balance that against ourselves, because self so often wants to be in control. But we need to allow God to be in control. We need to balance that with the flesh, because the flesh wants to do that which is contrary to what the Spirit wants to do in our hearts. We need to balance it with that. Oh, pride gets in the way so often, doesn't it? Because pride likes to be able to say, look what I did. Whereas God says, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. To have a balanced walk with God, we've got to recognize that God is doing the work of changing me. It's not me. Back in Matthew 6, where we started. To have a balanced walk with God, number one, we need to recognize who we are in Jesus Christ. Number two, we need to recognize that he's doing the work. He's the one that's changing us. But what we also need to do is we need to look at Matthew chapter 6 and get the balance that's found there in Matthew chapter 6. I love what it says in John chapter 1 verse 14. When Jesus came to earth, he came to give us an example of living a balanced life. Because it says Jesus was full of grace and truth. A perfect balance. And as we allow him to work in our hearts and change us, he can bring a balance to our lives as we walk with God. Matthew 6, we read verses 1 through 4 already, but it talks about giving. It talks about giving. That word alms there is talking about giving. It's not just about giving an offering in church. It's any giving that we do in any particular situation. And giving is part of a balanced walk with God. And if you're not giving, and I'm not just talking in church, but outside of church, if you're not giving of your talents and of your treasures and of your time, especially if you're not giving the truth of the Word of God, you can't have a balanced walk with God. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. You know what that's talking about? That giving is all about between you and God. It's not between you and the treasurer. It's not between you and the pastor. It's not between you and the IRD because you want to see how much tax you can get back. Giving is all about between you and God. From verses 5 through 15, and we just read to verse 8, but continuing on from verse 8 is, of course, the model prayer that Jesus gives to us. But we see that praying is part of a balanced walk with God. Praying is a part of a balanced walk with God. As we continue on, we come to verses 16 to 18, and it talks about the subject of fasting. And fasting is also very obviously part of a balanced walk with God. Fasting is all about showing God, I'm truly serious about what I'm asking for. I'm truly serious about what I want to see happening in my family and in my workplace and in my church and in my community. And so fasting is a part of a personal walk with God, a balanced personal walk with God. You might say, I didn't see Bible reading in there. Well, if you're reading Matthew 6, you're already doing it. You're reading the Bible. But there's many verses throughout the scripture that tell us how important it is that we spend time in God's word, because that's how God speaks to us. Yep. So Bible reading's part of a balanced walk with God. And if you want to have a balanced walk with God, you need to understand giving is a very important part of it. You need to understand that praying's a part of it. Fasting's a part of it. Reading God's words are part of it. But what I want you to notice here, and this is where the balance is all about, as you read these passages, there are a number of things that are common that bring balance in all of them. Number one, your balanced walk with God has nothing to do with what other people see. Because it says over and over again, don't do it to be seen of men. The second thing is, it makes it very clear to do it in secret. Not becoming secret agents. What it's talking about is that a walk with God is personal, it's not public. And too often, we do things in our Christian life to be seen of other people, and we want to make it public so that everybody can see how wonderful and how holy we are. And if you're living like that, you are unbalanced. Because God has made the balance very clear. If you want to have a balanced walk with God, yes, you do need to be giving. You do need to be praying. You do need to be fasting. You do need to be reading God's word. But it needs to be in secret, just between you and God. Just between you and God. And lastly, what I want you to notice this evening, in the following verses, from verses 19 to 34, in order for you to have a balanced walk with God, you need to put Jesus first in your life. We're not going to read all the verses for the sake of time, and I encourage you to go back and read Matthew chapter 6 and see the balance that is given there. You need to understand firstly who you are in Jesus Christ. And if you understand that, that's the first step. But also understand this, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Saviour, you can never have a walk with God until first you have an identity with Christ. That he is your Saviour, that you are his child, that you do belong to him, and that you are accepted by him through faith in him. It's also very important, as verses 19 through 34 stresses, you need to put Jesus first in your life. You've got to have the right balance. And so often in our lives, the reason why we struggle with having a balanced walk with God is because we've got things out of balance. The right balance is very simply Jesus first. Now verse 33 is very clear and very simple, but a lot of people read verse 33 and they just like the last part of verse 33. And all these things shall be added unto you. Yeah, I like that bit, and I'm going to claim that. But they don't like the first bit and tend to ignore that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And to have the right balance in your life, you need to put Jesus first. See, number one in my life is the fact that I am a child of God. And that is more important than anything else in my life, is that I am a child of God. But then secondly, it's very clear from the scripture, then comes your wife or husband and your family. See, first, I'm a child of God. But secondly, for me, I'm a husband. For some of you, you're a wife. Thirdly, I'm a father. And for some of you, you're a mother. And we need to get these things in the right order. Because for some of us, firstly, if you meet a lot of people, and even Christians, you say, hey there, who are you? They'll tell you their job. Like, that's the first and foremost important thing. That's what identifies me of being who I am. That's way down the list. The first and foremost thing we should say when we introduce ourselves to somebody is not our job or how many children we have. Is number one, I'm a child of God. Amen. I'm a child of God. And we need to get that right. We need to get that first to have a balanced walk with God. How can we have a balanced walk with God if we think the most important thing is that I'm a school teacher? How can we get things right in our walk with God if we think the most important thing is I need to give all my time and attention to my children? They need to come first. Now, firstly, we need to understand my role and to have right balance is it's Jesus first. I am a child of God. Secondly, I'm a husband. You fill in the blank there for yourself. Thirdly, I'm a father. And for some of us, we're blessed to be grandfathers. And some of us here are great-grandfathers. Then comes your job and ministry. And fourthly, I would say, I'm a pastor. But I could be a butcher, or a baker, or a candlestick maker. I still remember the nursery rhymes from many years ago. But whatever your role is, that comes down the line. First and foremost, I'm a child of God. Secondly, is I'm a husband. Thirdly, I'm a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather. My job comes fourth, right down the list. And the reason why we sometimes struggle with having a balanced walk with God is because we've got those roles out of order. We've got them out of order. A number of other things as we close. From verses 19 through 21, it tells us for us to have balance in our lives, we need to get our priorities right. And if our priorities are wrong, we will never find balance in our lives, and especially we'll struggle to have a balanced walk with God. Verses 22 to 24 talks about our loyalties. Who are our loyalties to? Our loyalties ought to be first and foremost to our Saviour. First and foremost to our Saviour. Verses 25 through 32 talks about the things that we worry about. I love 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Did you hear that? God hath not given us a spirit of fear. So it didn't come from God. Where does it come from? What did God give us? The verse continues on to say he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And folks, you read those verses there in verses 25 through 32 and he talks about, look at all the things you worry about. Why do you worry about those things? Because you're out of balance. You're out of balance. And sometimes it takes a mountain. And sometimes it takes a troubled sea. And sometimes it takes a desert to bring us back into balance and realise, I need a number one, first of all, I need to trust God and believe. I hope you heard that in that song. Because sometimes we get it out of balance. We spend our whole life full of care, not being careful, but full of care and worry because we're out of balance. We need to realise, number one, I'm a child of God, I'm a child of the King, and I can trust him completely with everything. Verse 33 talks about wants and needs, doesn't specifically, but it says God promises us to give us what we need. You know why we're out of balance so many times? Because we're so busy chasing what we want. And if we would get that into balance and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put you first in my life. And I want you to meet my needs. Don't worry about my wants. But we're unbalanced because we're so focused on what we want rather than putting God first and trusting him to meet our needs. You know, the other thing that keeps us out of balance is verse 34. We struggle with the future. Yes, back there 50 years ago, I trusted Christ as my Saviour for all eternity, and yet we struggle with tomorrow, trusting him for tomorrow. So often we're out of balance. And how can we have a balanced walk with God when we've got things so out of balance in our lives? I would encourage you to spend time in Matthew chapter 6 because it is a chapter all about balance in our lives, realising, number one, my identity is in Jesus Christ. It's not found in my job. It's not found in any certificates that might hang on the wall in my house. It's not found in how many children I've fathered or how many children, grandchildren, my children are giving to me. My identity is in Jesus Christ. I'm a child of the King. I'm complete in him. I'm accepted in the Beloved. It's not my life anymore. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, we need balance in our lives. I want to say to you this evening, if you're struggling with your walk with God, maybe it's because there's things out of balance in your life that you need to get right. You need to get things in the right order. You need to get your priorities sorted. You need to get your loyalty sorted. You need to deal with worry. You need to realize that you can trust God with the future. Man, if you think you're trusting him for all eternity, you can trust him for what's going to happen on Tuesday. Just Tuesday. I said, just Tuesday. And maybe Do we really understand what he did when he saved us? He saved us from hell, which we deserve, and he saved us for all eternity. And yet we worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. I want to encourage you to allow God to work in your heart to bring balance back where maybe things have got out of balance. And that you might have and enjoy a balanced walk with God. That as Adam and Eve, before they sinned, they walked and talked with God in the garden in the cool of the evening. That you might find time like that on a regular basis, where you would spend time with God as his child. And that you would learn to trust him through every situation you might face and get some balance in your life. Some of you went through Christmas and came to the 1st of January and said, man, things got a bit out of balance there. I need to change what I eat. I need to change how I exercise. I need to change what I do and where I go. Put those aside for now. The most important thing you need to change for 2024 is your walk with God. Recognize who you are in Jesus Christ. Realize he's the one that's going to change you. Put him first in your life to bring balance. And allow God to do a mighty work in and through you. Heavenly Father, I pray you take the words of your book, the Bible, and may your Holy Spirit impress them upon our hearts. Lord, you know us better than we even sometimes know ourselves. And I pray that you'd show me and you'd show each one in this building areas of our lives that you want to deal with and that you want to change, that you want to renew. I pray, Lord, from the day that you saved us, that you would continue to do that work in our hearts, to mold us and make us as clay, just the way you want us to be. We love you, Lord. Thank you for first loving us. I thank you for that day I trusted you as Savior, but more than that, I thank you that you came to us and you shed your blood for us. We love you. I pray in Jesus' name.